Welcome to episode 122 of the Golf Talk Podcast 122. This is Eric Brzeski. Alan Olson is with us as well again.
Hello.
Well, we'll get right to it. Going back 2 weeks, Tiger Woods won his 7th WGC Bridgestone event and his 70th PGA Tour victory in total. 7 and 70. That puts him, I think, 4 shy of breaking Jack Nicklaus. I think he's at 74 or 73 or something. Kind of a foregone conclusion, especially given the way he won the week before at the Buick.
Yeah, I don't think it was definitely any surprise of him playing well. It's a course that he's pretty much destroyed year in and year out. So nothing shocking, but it was certainly a fun final round to see him and Paddy go mano a mano.
Yep, and a come-from-behind victory at that, one of his many. He was 2 or 3 down to Padraig Harrington to start the final round. Quickly caught up through the first 4 holes, including an eagle at the second hole. So it was certainly exciting, and a come-from-behind win. Tiger repeated that the next week, being the final group of a come-from-behind win from 2 shots down at the PGA Championship, but was the loser this time around.
Yeah, that's shocking. You know, we were being set up, you know, Tiger sets the pace right off the bat on Thursday, and then Friday, and then Saturday, and it's like, okay, it's his, nobody's going to challenge him. Paddy comes up, and we're like, ooh. Repeat from last weekend, and not quite so fast.
Well, Paddy repeated his 8.
Yes.
This time doing it on a par 3, flying a ball into a water twice. Not the best way for Patrick Harrington to finish, but I think Tiger Woods lost the tournament on Saturday. He had a 4-shot lead going into Saturday. People were like, oh, the tournament's over. Tiger Woods started his conservative, let everyone else fall apart strategy, seemingly, on Saturday. Brandon Chamblee thinks he had poor technique on Saturday. Maybe he knew it and was playing conservatively because of that. I don't know. But the conservative play definitely started Saturday when he failed to increase the lead or even maintain it, letting it drop to 2 shots. Wai Yang put up a 67 that day. You know, the best Tiger Woods could manage is a 1-under par 71. And then we get to the final day, and Tiger makes more bogeys on Sunday in a major championship than he had the previous 3 days.
Yeah, it was certainly a shocking weekend to play for Tiger. You're just not used to, I don't know. I mean, he's played conservative before. Everybody falls apart. He wins by 4. Everybody goes home.
And everyone did fall apart except for Wai Yang.
Right. But the problem is Tiger sort of kind of fell apart too. You know, he didn't, I don't know. It was weird to see him. Now granted, he hits long irons better than a lot of these guys hit their wedges. So when he's laying back, it's part of the strategy, but it's still kind of bizarre that, I don't know, it was just really weird to see him on Sunday. And like you said, I think Saturday, yeah, he definitely played way too conservative on a day where, you know, the weather was crazy, but there were still some rounds in the 60s to be had.
Well, and his putting trouble seemed to start Saturday afternoon. He had a 6-footer on 18, maybe 8 feet, to push his lead out to 3, failed to make that putt. You know, a 3-shot lead versus a 2-shot lead doesn't sound like much, but it's a 50% difference, and it would have made them tied coming to 18 on Sunday. You know, even with all the same play up to that point. So, putting troubles, Tiger Woods blamed his loss on putting troubles on Sunday. Again, Brandon Chamblee thinks Tiger's right arm was too high, so he was pulling a lot of putts. And it started right from the first hole. He had an 8-footer or so for birdie on the first hole, and never touched the cup.
No, that was pretty much, I don't know if that was an omen for the rest of the day, especially after he sticks, I think it was an 8-iron to, you know, 6-8 feet, and you're like, oh boy, here we go. You know, he's gonna just start the birdie train right off and put this thing out of contention, but he misses the putt by, I mean, he looked like me.
Yeah. No, he didn't leave his 8-foot putt 4 feet short though.
Ooh. I prefer 3 feet by the hole, but that's alright.
He missed the birdie putt on the second hole, parred, you know, the third hole, and then 2 bogeys going out. Finally gets a birdie on 11, the par 5, but then turns around and gives it right back with a bogey at 12. Puts it in the bunker at 14. The hole, of course, Wai Yang chipped in on. The only putt he made all day was his 10-footer for birdie there. And then bogey 17 and then 18, but by 18 it was gone. So that's kind of irrelevant. But his chip on 17, for example, he thought he hit a perfect shot. It was 5 to 10 yards too long. One hopped into the back rough. That chip, he left himself 12 feet. Very un-Tiger-like. I didn't see that coming. I thought he had a 50-50 chance of getting up and down. But then you say Tiger Woods, final round, he's going to put all his concentration into it, it's got to go up to 75% chance of getting up and down. And he leaves himself a 12-foot putt, which he hadn't made all day.
No, I mean, we certainly did not see Tiger's A-game when it comes to his short game. I mean, there's just a lot of shots that he left short or blew it by the hole.
He three-putted twice on the one hole twice on the weekend.
That's just stuff you don't expect to see from Tiger ever. Granted, the expectation level is pretty high, but, you know, even his B game, sometimes his C-plus game, still gets it done, and this was just bizarre to see him.
This was not a good scoring day. Padraig Harrington shoots 78 and still manages to finish tied for 10th. The guy who finished tied for 3rd, the two guys, Lee Westwood and Rory McIlroy, both fired rounds of only 70, but they moved way up from 10th place to 3rd. Lucas Glover fires a 74, Martin Kaymer a 73, and actually moved up two spots. Ernie Els a 74, Soren Yeltsin a 74, Henrik Stenson a 75, John Merrick shot a 70 and moved up 16 places. Same with Dustin Johnson. Zach Johnson fired only a 71 and moved up 13 places. We get Padraig Harrington way back in 10th. Vijay Singh fired a 73 and actually moved up two places. So, not a great day. Shout out to Corey Pavin at T19. He shot a 75, but moved to top 20 finish for the shortest guy on the longest course. So, good for him. KJ Choi, by the way, finished at tied for 24th. But Wai Yang played, like it's been said, he played like Tiger Woods played, or has played, when he's had the lead in the final round of the major. Shooting a 70 to Tiger Woods' 75. You know, Tiger Woods shoots 70, nobody beats him. I pointed out that somebody would have to shoot a 67 to beat him, a 68 to tie, and that was only two guys had a chance to do that. A 75 versus a 70, Wai Yang played it, and stepped on his throat there on the last hole with a great 3 hybrid.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the shots of the year easily. To stick that hybrid as close as he did. Yeah, it was bizarre. I mean, the weather was a little crazy. The greens were a little funky. But yeah, nobody broke 70 in the final round on a day where, you know, it's not like the course was dry and fast. I mean, there was a lot of wind, but I mean, they got a ton of rain. Just a weird final round.
We'll point out too that Wai Yang was actually 5 over par at one point in the championship and in danger of missing the cut, I think through 20 some holes on Friday. Comes back and wins the PGA Championship. Again, not to take anything away from Wai Yang, but I certainly know I was disappointed. I would have rather had someone who didn't need a translator, you know, in the presentation ceremony. But that's just me.
That's global golf.
And millions of other people.
It was an impressive win. I mean, he played great. Had the nice chip in, and he played very well. He played what you'd expect to see Tiger play in the final round, just step on somebody's throat right off the bat and be done with it, but didn't happen, and we'll see.
So has Tiger lost some of the aura, some of the invincibility? Is he now as beatable as ever to, I think, borrow Rory Sabatini's phrase earlier?
I think maybe some of the mystique has worn off to a small degree, but, I mean, if you're going to sit there and say Tiger versus the field, I think for most tournaments, you're going to take Tiger anyway. There's very few guys that can be in the final group with them and win, or at least play halfway decent.
And maybe it takes a guy who doesn't speak English to do it.
Well, I mean, we don't know a lot about him. I think you had even posted when you did the live blog that this guy just doesn't know that he's supposed to be scared or something along that line. That
ignorance is bliss. Yeah,
yeah.
Someone posted comments in the chat we were doing. They said, "We've been asking for a number of years who the next young gun would be to step up and challenge Tiger Woods. Who knew it would be a 37-year-old father of 5?
Yeah, that's probably the last person we're expecting to have that happen. So,
in the end, Tiger Woods has still won 14 major championships. He's won 70 PGA Tour events. You know, I don't think the mystique is gone, but I think it took a hit. I think people realize, and you know, maybe his game was off. Maybe he couldn't win this with his B game this week against this guy. So who knows? I mean, he still put a run on Padraig Harrington going, you know, 500 through 6 holes or whatever it was at the Firestone the week before. I don't know. I look for 2010 to be an interesting year in the majors for Tiger Woods. I think he'll be ticked. I still don't think he considers this season a success, especially given where he was in the PGA in the final round.
No, I mean, for him not to have played well, really in three of the majors, well, he played well, obviously, except for the last round, but for him to miss a cut and not win a major. I mean, if you would have told me that in March, I would have laughed. I mean, that is just, that's not what you expect.
Well, on the bright side, The silver lining in this cloud is that Tiger Woods did get closer to Jack Nicklaus's major championship record for second place finishes.
Nice. Well, at least he's got that going for him. I'm sure that's what he'll put on his.
That'll comfort him. Yes. Yeah. He's one closer to the 19, and since he's going to retire when he hits like 19 wins, it's good he starts chipping away at that now, so that he can get there before he retires.
Right. I mean, if you're going to have all of the, if you're going to have the whole entire record book, you got to get the second place finishes too. So.
Yeah. We'll be right back after this with our beating balls segment.
We're always improving our game so you can improve yours. Introducing the new Pro V1 with more distance and more spin for better control. And new Pro V1X with more distance. Both more durable than ever. We made every improvement count because every shot counts.
Leading off our beating ball segment, a couple weeks ago we had a little issue, if you will, Firestone. The final grouping, they got put on the clock due to a little slow play issue, and Tiger Woods is not happy.
Patrick Harrington, to be said, doesn't seem to care. He's not trying to be a sore loser, so that's part of it. He doesn't want to blame something other than himself for the loss, so that, again, that's part of it. Maybe inside he's boiling and he hates it, but publicly he's saying, it wasn't an issue, it's my fault, the end. Tiger Woods perhaps being slightly gracious winner, but Tiger doesn't usually speak out. He'll usually say, yeah, he played well, and it was a fun battle, and I'm glad to have come out on top. But, my take on this is, the rules have to be applied the same to everyone, and they were behind, and they deserved to be told they were on the clock.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't shocking. Pedrick is one of the slower player, methodical, if you will, players. Tiger isn't exactly Mr. Quicker on the course either. And I think at one point they were like 17 minutes behind their schedule. So they already play slow enough. And if they get 17 minutes behind slow enough, that's poor. And for being told that they're on the clock, they're professionals. I mean, it really shouldn't bother them that much. So
additionally, they have 40 seconds, which is a long time. And that's after you have a minute for your opponent to play his shot first. Tiger Woods played first on both the second shot and the third shot on that hole. So Patrick Harrington had a minute and 40 seconds to play his shots, essentially. He also had a warning, not a warning, but yeah, a first bad time. He could have taken 5 minutes to play his chip shot from behind the bunker, and the worst thing he would have gotten was a warning. You have one warning before you get a stroke penalty and a fine. So he kind of had one bad time to play with. So, I don't know. Realistically, he should have sped up when they were told on the sixth hole that they were kind of falling behind. They managed to stay within a hole of the group ahead of them until the 16th. And that's when the rules say you get put on the clock. Because J.B. Holmes was messing up 16 ahead of them, a few groups ahead of them. So that backed up the course and kind of kept them within that buffer zone for a little while. But then that cleared out and they were a hole behind. So, you know what? Play faster during the rest of the round. And it wouldn't have been an issue at all. It's not like they didn't have the opportunity to correct that.
No. I mean, they certainly could have been caught up by then. And it's just, there again, it's not something new. I mean, the tour plays slow, and then there's also a group of guys on tour that play even slower than the rest of them. This isn't shocking, the fact that Tiger came out and was pretty vocal about it. That probably is the more surprising thing of that weekend was how, I don't want to say angry, but just him actually talking about it. He doesn't usually do stuff like that, so.
Yeah, news came down during the PGA Championship that the International Olympics Committee recommended golf for the 2016 Olympics along with rugby.
Yawn.
The problem I have with this is, yippee, but it's 72 holes, it's stroke play, they're determining who gets in by the world ranking, which I don't really have a problem with the world ranking, but amateurs aren't going to be doing it, which I think stinks. And it's not like some team match play would have been awesome. Maybe you can't quite do it in 2 weeks. Maybe you have a team best ball stroke play qualifier to whittle it down to 32 teams, and then you play best ball match play from there on out. That'd be exciting. Plus, if Tiger's still playing golf, we'd see Phil and Tiger perhaps playing. That would be interesting. 72 holes of stroke play, that's not going to identify the best. If you want to identify the best player, you got to have some kind of format. If you want to identify the best country, that's a different format. That's a team play kind of thing. But 72 holes of stroke play, as good as it is at determining who played well for 72 holes, it's not the best at determining who's the best in the world. This week, Tiger Woods would have gotten a silver medal. In the U.S. Open and Masters, he wouldn't have finished in the medal at all. He finished tied for sixth. He missed the cut at Turnberry. He's unquestionably the best player in the world, perhaps ever, and yet he wouldn't have won a medal. He would have won one silver medal in four tries at this format.
Yeah, it certainly is not the best format for this. Hopefully they're, I don't know. Hopefully they can figure something out. I'm just not that excited. It's not like I'm going to really tune in and say, ooh, the Olympics are on. I'm going to watch golf.
Well, I doubt they might not even show it. I mean, covering golf is a lot more difficult than covering a race. A race is over in, you know, swimming or whatever is over in 54 seconds or 2.5 minutes or whatever. Golf takes 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, you're going to end up seeing, all you'll see on TV is some highlights, and then, you know, at 2 in the morning, they might show, like, the final half four round or something. I mean, you're just not going to get to see a lot of it. Could there have been other sports that would have been better represented? I don't know.
I think the format sucks. I think the goals of, you know, now the IOC will fund golf in some developing countries and some poorer countries and stuff. I think that's all great. I just think the format kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll change it. Who knows?
The Solheim Cup is this week. Are you going to watch?
Sure. Team play is always kind of fun to watch.
Who will win?
Who will win?
The Asians. No, wait. They don't have a team.
They don't have a team. So if you're going to go U.S. versus Europe, the U.S.
I'm picking the U.S. as well. But I do hope they get the Asian players and continents and involved at some point. I don't know how you can have a three-way event, but and I would kind of be opposed to having a President's Cup like rest of the world thing every other year, because then the girls are playing every year. But maybe they can work in some kind of three-way event.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly could do that. There's obviously different formats they could do and whatnot. So
sixums, best ball sixums, that'd be awesome. You know what the heck?
There you go. Why not? It's bad enough you got to think about the other team, but now you got another team on top of the other team. So. Yeah, it'd be kind of fun. Golf is, you know, certainly, you know, with it being more global and with the LPGA being dominated right now by the South Koreans, to not have them in an event like this is kind of bizarre.
Yeah, we'll tune in too to see how Michelle Wee does.
Yeah, well, she's played quite well. She's finished top 10 just about every tournament, it seems like. So, it should be a lot of fun. This could be the launching pad to a good rest of the year for her.
Or a good rest of the career for her. We'll see. That about does it for episode 122 of the Golf Talk Podcast. For links to the relatively few stories we talked about this week, check the show notes out online. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, USA, USA, I suppose.
Ooh, I'm going to tear up during the national anthem.